Blog Talk Radio.
Politicians Love Sonnet. Politicians Love Sonnet. Written and read by...
Good evening, everybody. This is Grassman. Tonight, we'll have a shorter show than usual. I'm sorry. I apologize for that because I was got held up at work. We have about, I think, 8 or 9 poems to read tonight. And they were inspired by what I call the three ladies of poetry. It was Sylvia Plath, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and Emily Dickinson. They're all awesome. And three of my poems that I had put out there for a contest is going to be the focal point of the show tonight. And I thank Deborah Lee for letting everybody know I was going to be delayed tonight on the show. So appreciate that. First of all, before I start anything, I'd like to, there's the world is going on around us, right? And there's a lot of things happening in India and around the world where people are poor and they're not getting the medical attention they deserve or need. And it's a very sad point. So I'm asking you, if you can do me a favor, just do what you can personally to try to help those and less fortunate than you are. And this all goes back to being a person and a human being within the human race and understanding that each of us has our abilities to which we can give. And if you can and you have the means, do so, because there's a lot of people out there struggling. And in India, they have people getting turned away at the hospitals. They have people that aren't getting oxygen. They have people that are in lower class system that aren't getting any help from their government. So anyways, I don't want to make this political. I just want to let you know that there's a lot of things that you can do. If you can, just do a couple things. Help out in any way you can. That would be awesome. All right. So the first poem I have on the show is Three Ladies of Poetry, and Sylvia Plath is the first one. And her poem that I like is called Elm. And it kind of is different. I'll put the link into the show here. Y'all can maybe read along with me. And if I sound a little bit depressed, I am a little bit depressed tonight just because some of the things that's going on. So here we go. Let me put this in here. I'm not usually. But here's her poem. It's called Elm. Let me read it for you. Elm by Sylvia Plath. I know the bottom, she says. I know it with my great taproot. It is what you fear. I do not fear it. I have been there. It is a sea where you hear me, in me. It's that satisfactions or the voice of nothing that was your madness. Love is a shadow. How you lie and cry after it. Listen, these are the hooves. It has gone off like a horse. All night I shall gallop thus impetuously till your head is stone, your pillow is a little turf, echoing, echoing. Or shall I bring you the sound of poisons, this rain now, this big hush, and this is the fruit of it, tin white like arsenic. I have suffered the atrocity of sunset, scorched to the root. My red filaments burn and stand a hand of wires. Now I break up the pieces that fly about like clubs. A wind of such violence will tolerate no bystanding. I must shriek. The moon also is merciless. She would drag me cruelly, being barren. Her radiance scathes me, or perhaps I have caught her. I let her go. diminish and flat in radical surgery, how your bad dreams possess and endow me. I am hit by a cry, nightly it flaps out, looking with its hooks for something to love. I am terrified by this dark thing that sleeps in me. All day I feel its soft, feathery turnings, its malignity. Clouds pass and disperse, and those in faces of love, those pale retrievables, it is for such I agitate my heart. I am incapable of more knowledge. What is this, this face, so murderous in its strangle of branches, its snaky acid hiss, it petrifies the will. These are the isolate, slow faults that kill, that kill, that kill. And I hope you read that. And can you hear me? Oh, let me get a couple people on here. I got Mr. Hatter.
916. Hey, Grass. Hey, Grass, how are you doing?
And I have Sweet. Good, man.
Hello.
Did you hear me?
I heard you.
Do you hear me reading? I hope. Okay, good. All right. Good.
We were on the phone.
I know I had to read though first. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you're checking on the radio, we're not in the studio. I mean, in the chat, we're on the phone.
Oh yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that you're on the phone now. So that was our first poem, and what really gets me about that is just her melancholy attitude that she's going through all these things and all these problems that she has, and she feels like she has no one to turn to but herself, that nobody really can help her, because no matter how much you want to try to have other people understand what you're going through, they'll never truly understand how you feel and when you're in depression and how it hurts.
Does it say when,
and how you can't get out
when, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Does it say when in her life? Yeah, when in her life did she write this? Does it say? Was it later in her life or early?
This one here, was probably. Well, she was always a different cat. She had a lot of different things going on with her. I mean, I think a lot of her distress came after. She pursued. What's his name? The English poet, I forget his name. And they got married. And then postpartum, they found out that he was fooling around on her, right? And then I think they separated for a while, and then that's when she really got even worse. And then it got to a point where she didn't think she was,
that's not
desirable or whatever. And a lot of, yeah.
Was it Neruda?
But yeah, who's that? Oh, her husband? No, it was the English poet. Neruda was a Spanish, Brazilian or Venezuelan. I forget exactly where, but yeah, Ted Hughes, that's her husband, her husband. So... how y'all doing tonight?
I'm still recovering. Having some rough days.
I know you had surgery, man. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Yeah.
Back surgery, huh?
Yeah. Had to have it.
So when they told you to put your back into it, you did, right?
Yeah, it was an injury that I did on the farm. It just got worse and worse.
Not on Chicken Mountain.
No,
not Chicken Mountain.
Chicken,
huh?
No, it was Rattlesnake
Chicken
Road.
Mountain. Okay. Rattlesnake Road. Okay.
Yeah.
And Sweet Pea, what did you think of her poem? Did you get hear me read it?
I heard part of it.
Yeah.
I think the depression is just there. It's what she's, how you fall apart, and I don't see any.
Yeah.
Grace of her coming forward, like there's no hope in it, and it's very depressing. It's like when is she going to come back? Like, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? And I don't see that there. And it's kind of like one of those where you write and you wonder, you know, what's tomorrow going to bring? Are you ever going to be happy again? And is there a possibility for happiness? And you know, it's got a lot of drudgery in it. It's like, how can yet anybody be so broken?
I know. It's one of those poems that really gets you thinking. And that's what I wanted to do for all the people that were, you know, writing for it. I don't know. I got to see who actually wrote to that one, because I'd like to have their poem, do their poem next or after that. Let me see what I got here.
She lived like in
the 20s, 30s? She was actually 50s, late 50s, early 60s.
Oh, okay.
And she was actually friends with, yeah, she's more of a confessionary poet is what they call her. And she was friends with, what's her name? Now I can't, I used to know all this stuff, but I lose my mind sometimes. She actually got put through school. Ann Sexton. You remember Ann Sexton?
Yeah.
She also was a poet about the same time. And she helped with her, she helped her get into the business and kind of helped her along.
All right.
And they both were very depressed people, actually, you know, they were very depressed.
Yeah, she's right.
But her poem
old school.
Yeah, she does.
Is it for such I agitate my heart?
Yeah, agitate my heart. She has a way with making you even feel worse, you know, because that's like every time I read her, I just, because I get depressed easy. About things. I do.
Why do?
Because,
why do
you know,
like
it's
that?
Like, oh, why are people,
why people
like that?
That emotion. Yeah, that emotion.
Why do people, because it's real. You know, it's easy to feel, I guess, for somebody else and what they're going through, and it's real. You know, it's a real feeling. It's one of the things that most people can relate with is grief and pain and suffering. Wow. And you always, I always find people write more intense when they actually get it all out of their system. In other words, it's a great relief mechanism. That's probably how I started really dealing with things, is writing them out. You know,
how do we know that?
I know
how
I
do we know that? Draws to writing is just an instinctive thing to lay it down in words.
I think it's just like who you become as a person. Mine started when I was pretty young, like at 13 or so. I started writing and trying to express myself in words, because I found out a lot of times I could try to talk about it, but I really wasn't getting out what I wanted to say. You know, it wasn't really, I wasn't expressing my true feelings.
Yeah. So that's the draw, is the confessionary.
Yeah. It's a confessionary. It's like, hey, I'm telling you this, all these bad things that's happening to me, so that you can identify and that other people can identify, hey, I am going through something that we both can relate to. Right. Yeah. And here's
pretty good. Yeah.
Let me see this one here. This one here is from R. LaBarge, and they won bronze. Let me put this in here. And if you could read this one, Sweet Pea, I appreciate it. Oh, did Frank come? I just saw him. Did he get on the phone? Oh, no, that's somebody else. I think that's Deborah Lee. Hey.
Hello. That's me.
Deb. How you doing? Long time no talk to.
I know, right?
Hi, Deb.
Feeling better?
The number.
Hey, Harold.
Can somebody give? Yeah. Can somebody give Frank the number?
On it.
Yeah, I got it.
Congrats on the promotion.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, I got promoted at work, which just means just more work.
No more money?
Yeah, a little bit more money, actually. It helps, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, that's always good. Just a reliability, maintenance, compliance engineer at work. So that's good. Senior, actually. Senior, so that's a promotion. So if
better
you could read this one by R. Yeah, it's true. If you could read this one by R. LaBarge, Sweet Pea, it'd be awesome.
Okay. This is Beach. 20 years later, as we hike past towering sentinels in our old neighborhood, we find our initials at a familiar spot, brown scratches into thin, proud, light gray skin. Ancestors greeted us at Ottawa, guarded their seasonal camps, made tan, sandy bottom waters, and provided hot flames whose sparks dance with stories of quick foxes and lady sea ducks. During our camp, it proved hard to see clumps of stars until the day and night of the winds, when several giants split apart mossy asphalt shingles to reveal clouds racing before a yellow moon. Chief McIntosh's stories on a sign near the entrance to the Marigold Woods, but his initials can only be found on the choppy banks of on the choppy black waves of a nearby lake that bears his name. We now live on the other side, guarded by two fat trunk silver maples, thick limbs spread wherever they please, rough bark unsuitable for hardened hearts with arrows.
And that was in symphony.
They wanted to read.
But that's all right. You actually got through it fine.
Yeah.
Let me pick up this phone call. I think it's Frank. Hold on 1 second. And then we'll discuss the poem.
I'm so sorry, sir.
No push. Frank, you on? You there?
Hello there, my friend. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing? What did y'all think of R. LaBarge's poem? To go with Sylvia's.
Are you asking me first?
No, I was going to ask the others because I know you just came on.
Okay.
I don't know if you got a
chance
to hear.
I heard the barking, the chorus in the background.
Of course.
Well, it is a tree, and trees are known for bark, so there you go.
I think it's cool that you wrote it from the perspective of the tree.
Right. I think
like
it is, too.
Like the tree was telling us its story. I think they did a really great job.
Yes,
and won the bronze.
Yeah, I think.
Congrats on that.
Yeah, won the bronze because it was different from Sylvia's that it basically told the story of what can happen in a short span of time within your life, right? Because it says 20 years later, we hiked past towering sentinels in our old neighborhood. In other words, those trees were just barely sprouted probably when they were in the neighborhood before. Now it's like it's towering over them. And that's how things happen in our lives. It's like one thing, it's this way, and the next thing, it's huge.
Yeah. I can relate to that because there's a house we lived in Williamstown, the last house that we all lived to together, and there was a little tree right outside my bedroom window that I could leapfrog over. And little by little, the tree became much taller than me. And the last time I saw it, it was higher than the lamppost. So you can really judge a lot by how fast the vegetation takes it back.
Exactly. And what'd you think, Hatter, why you heard that?
I love the run-on sentence in free verse. And they do very well here. The last stanza there. We now live on the other side, guarded by two fat silver maples. thick limbs spread wherever they please, rough bark unsuitable for carving hearts and arrows with arrows. That's the way free verse should be written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very nice, right? All right, now I want to go to Frank since he's here with us. And Frank actually just took my breath away, to be honest with you. There's no other contest in this contest. In other words, his poem just blew me away. I mean, truly made me – his was after Elizabeth Barrett Browning poem, you know, the famous poem that she has, which is How Do I Love Thee, right? So he wrote to that one, and just the phrasing and just everything about it, it just took me back to the old times, and I really, really did really enjoy his poem. So, Frank, I'm going to bring it into the thing, and we'll let you read it because you have such a tremendous voice. Oh, you already did it? Okay.
I appreciate that, my friend. It was a pleasure to write for your contest there. I took a sonnet here, gave it a little spin here to the poem that was mentioned here. First of all, that was a fantastic piece there. To be inspired by Browning was a tremendous honor for me. So I decided to just bear down on the essence of the poem there, and I came to this piece here, and it goes like this. Leonor, so exquisite are the petals of your primrose, caressing the color of your blanched cheeks. I recall the beauty of the passing weeks. I envision the sweet nectar of the Melrose. I love thee with all my heart and devotion, and we embrace with our warps in the pond, when ripples of currents become our bond, two white swans' gentle touch of affection. I love thee with every breath of mine I take, for the darkness without your light is real, and your love makes my wounds ever heal. When infused of romance for old time's sake, I love thee, my darling primrose, I truly adore. Come to me and blossom as you did before. Mi amor, mi flor, in the fall.
Frank, you are a true Neruda, man. That and just how it happens, because you start off with mentioning the petals of your primrose, and then you say, as you're going through it, you're talking about all the time that you spent together, and at the end you put it back together by saying, I truly adore, come to me and blossom as you did before. In other words, throughout her life, she's blossoming in your love, and it's so touching and so beautifully done. I think this is probably, you know, I've seen many of your poems, but this one really touched me special. And that's why it was so easy to give you the gold on this one. So just to let you know.
I have to, first of all, let me say, I appreciate that. I was surprised, I have to say. There were some great pieces there. And it was something that took me down memory lane, not just for the personal attachment that it has, but also the style. I used to write this type of poetry back in my days when I was writing poetry. I kind of forsook that because it wasn't what people were interested in. It's unfortunate that I say that, but at the time I abandoned this type of writing. I went more of what was more in the mood, I guess, or more of what was being asked, or what is more popular, I would say. Fortunately, that's what at times sells, not so much sells the monetary value, but, you know, interest, that's what I was sort of mentioning there. So you gave me a good chance.
I get it,
there.
But I don't...
Yeah, you gave me a chance to rediscover myself.
Oh, I don't think that people really know what the complexities of yours and the complexities of Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I mean, if you compare some of the wording in it and the way that it's one of those things that poems can get as close as possible to how your heart feels about somebody else. If you read yours and you read hers and how enveloped your heart becomes on somebody else that truly, truly means everything to your existence. That no matter what, no matter how things go anywhere else, that person is always going to be there for you and you're going to be there for them. It's a true bond that nobody can ever separate. And that bond always goes on throughout time, throughout everything, throughout life, throughout eternity. That love is never going to be broken because it's very rare that that comes along in people's lives, right? And then when we have it, when it's so special and it means so much, you know that once you don't have that anymore, you've become nothing but a shell of who you were before because that void can't be filled. That desire, that dedication, that passion that you have for somebody, when that's gone and it's taken away from you, you're just nobody. You're nobody like you were.
I'm gonna have to holler you, my friend. You did some great advice.
No, you really did, man. It was awesome. I really appreciate it, my man.
But thank you for calling
because I really like the way that you do it. I really enjoy your talking about.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I wish I could stay on more
longer.
No
problem.
I've got a podcast.
I understand.
My own at the cafe over there where I'm at.
I've
got to run that there within the hour. I prepare myself for that a bit.
No problem.
But I do appreciate
you giving me the time
for the and for the effort as well and the contest as well. Hope to see you again in the near future again if another contest there, if not if another opportunity.
Oh yeah.
Call in. Take care.
I try to bring back the old classics and all right, cheers.
Hope you bring if you bring some of those old classics, I'll definitely be interested in writing them.
I will. All right. So anybody else has some comments on Frank's poem? What do you think?
Frank always classes the place up. He writes old school. I enjoy every time he reads. This, like you said, I agree with you, Chris. This is top shelf stuff. Good job.
It is.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It is.
Yeah, I was taken by for the darkness without your light is real and your love makes my wounds ever heal. I was like, damn. It's really easy to see why you gave him the gold.
Yeah, definitely. And now, what do you think, Sweet Pea?
I would like to say, Mr. Romantic woos another lover into his web of sultry with his silky voice and the intricate weaving of his lexicon in his heart.
Yep.
I really
beautiful.
Very adorable there, Sweet. I appreciate that. And I know how much we've got to know, all of us here. I know, Griff, I haven't gotten to know you much there, but hopefully we shall have some good moments. I can honestly say with Hatter and Deb and Sweet, I've come to be fond of them, and I'm certain I'll be fond of you as we get more time on the airwaves as well. But all of you are very special friends to me. And thank you. Thank you for the gold medal there. I really appreciate that. You know, I'm a person really quick.
No problem.
I'll just be brief. I don't really, you know, I get, people get upset at times because they get no medal or they get a green, you know. And it's not about like that with me, you know, because I've learned that the best thing for me is always, and this is a wise advice for those who are out there listening and complain about not getting medals. You should be at least complacent with the fact that you are getting some publicity when people are sharing your poetry on a contest, you get publicity there. You get an exposure as well to your poem. And that in itself will help you broaden out your fan base, or not fan base, but your exposure to other poets on this site. And therefore, you'll start getting more appreciation there. So I've always said that don't always get stuck on the medals. Don't get stuck on the medals. Get stuck on the opportunities that you have through these contests. to get that.
The,
that
the real truth, the real truth of contest, the real thing is inspiration is the reward itself. If you can get to a contest and it inspires you to write, that's reward enough for me. That's all I need. Because it's very hard lately to write like I want.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Frank.
There's a lot of, Take care, my friend. All right. Take care. Take care.
All right. Cheers, man.
Take care, sweet. Cheers, my friend.
Night.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, Deb. Now you get to read Barrett Browning's poem.
Okie dokie.
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
You don't have the all poetry link? Hold on.
No, I don't. I don't know what happened. I got the one from the – I have a subscription. That's why I do it from that one.
Well, no,
hey,
no, it's not that. It's just I try not to use the links that take people off of the site, and this one takes us to another site.
That.
Actually, we've kicked people out for doing it. It's in the rules, dear heart. Just saying.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know.
Really, really. But here it goes.
Hey, Grusty Grass.
Go ahead, Sweet Pea.
I'm gonna have.
What?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go here by in about half an hour, just so that you know.
Yeah, it's only gonna last for nine anyway.
So yeah. So it should all work out.
Oh. Okay. You're only doing an hour. All right, no problem.
Yeah.
Perfect the mundo.
All right, Sweet Pea.
Okay, this is How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being and ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need. By the sun and candlelight, I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tear, all of my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. End poem.
That was Elizabeth Browning, the romantic poet. One of my favorite poets. She did a lot of those type of rhyming and type of poems back in the 1800s. All right, so you can see why there are similarities between hers and Frank's. And they both were feeling like that other person completed them and made them whole, that without them, they couldn't function like they should. And the best part about them was being with somebody that they loved very much. And she's another one that married another poet. And unfortunately, my mind's not thinking tonight. I know what the person's name was, but I mean, I have to go look it up, but whatever. She was married to another poet. She had one child late in life. And
Crash.
She had bad health. She had a lot of bad health. Go ahead.
Her name is Elizabeth Barrett. And then she married Robert Browning, and that's how
that's
she
right.
got to be Elizabeth
Robert Browning,
Barrett Browning.
Yeah, exactly. My mind isn't, like I said, unfortunately, I've been doing updates all day long, so I apologize for my lack of mental fortitude right now. yeah, sorry. I'm not in my usual good self mood tonight. Sorry about that. I apologize. but there's a lot of things going on. And like I said, like I said in the beginning of the show, is there's one of my friends that's on a mission in India. Probably the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet is going through a really bad time. And with a lot of different people are going through a lot of bad times over there. So it's got me, a little bit upset. So, I mean, a lot upset, but there's not much I can do other than pray and do what I can do. But, you know, those things happen. All right. So we have, the next poet. We actually have some ones that we can listen to. Let me get to that one. We have Gerald that was actually part of the contest. Let's get to that. Let's see here. Gerald? Where are you, Gerald? And he actually has an audio.
Start yelling.
What's that?
Maybe you could let Sweet read hers before the dogs start yelling.
Oh, she has one? I didn't know that she put one in. My bad.
Yeah, I got one, too.
Let's put hers in there. All right.
I didn't put it on the
you
board.
You got one, too?
I'm sorry. Cause you just... Yeah, but usually you make me put it on the board, so I didn't put it in your studio.
Okay. Yeah, just put it on the board. Go ahead.
Okay. It's not to any of your poems, but it's to Platt. I wrote one to one of her poems.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
It's pretty.
See it. Where's it at?
It's not in your room.
It in there?
Hold on. I got to put it in. No, I haven't put it in there.
Oh.
Okay. Because now I got caught off guard and hold it.
Is there somebody else on the line?
Wolf Spirit is here.
Oh.
There is. Wolf Spirit.
Yeah, let me put him in. All right. 803, you're on. How you doing?
Hi. How you? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good.
It's been a very long time since
I've
heard your voice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
It's been a very long time since I've heard your voice.
Okay. It's Wolf Spirit.
Yeah, I'll shut up and let you do your poem. I'm just kind of here to feel things out. I'm just kind of here to feel things out. See what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm up there.
Yep.
Okay, so this was written to the applicant, and it's in my author's notes by Sylvia Platt. So.
I love that poem. I love her poem. Yeah, I love that poem.
Okay. So this is my muse to that. Fraudulent applicants, please apply. Charlatans of character, masqueraders of wretchedness, a fetish and the mastery of shenanigans, I shall hypothesize, naked upon a knee, if it please, marriage is the key. Bastards, warts, or fleas apply for the hand offered. Unemployed, uneducated, mama's boy, bisexual, come aboard, interview, lie, the best, the job is yours. Old and blind, poor and putrid, that is our choice, to marry it, her, with contractual, no out clause, a virgin so true, no one's touched it. She wears the hair as a shawl. We beg, we plead, we ignore all flaws. Just marry the thing. We call a girl in the room down the hall. We pay room and board. You're set for life. Marry it. Marry it. We need a vacation. And poem.
Just marry and get her out of the house, huh?
That's right.
Oh man, it's funny. It's in your face. It's kind of like yours. Will you marry me? Marry it. It's part of like the same same as like take her away from here. We don't want her. And it's the same kind of like contriteness too at the same time. I love it. Great job.
Thank you.
Wolf, you want to comment?
I'm a, yeah, very, very cool poem. Fraudulent applicants, please apply. Is this kind of like the old farmer's daughter jokes, or is it more a question of the last daughter in the family who's becoming an old maid, and you just want to get rid of her and get her out of the house? I don't know. I think I know some guys like that. But, yeah, it's very cleverly penned. I really love this. We beg, we plead, we ignore all flaws. Just marry the thing. We call a girl in a room down the hall. We pay room and board. You're set for life. Marry it, marry it. We need a vacation. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, we don't want it. Get it out of here. Very cleverly done.
Thank you. yeah.
I know, I'm
just
wretched.
Get rid of that kid.
I'm wretched. I'm sorry. I have a very high opinion of women generally, but this poem just takes me to places I haven't experienced in recent years.
You said you're wretched. Did you read the last line of my second to last stanza? You're wretched.
Yeah.
Have you
read
me?
Yeah, said wretched. And the word apparently stuck with me and stung my psyche because that was what I was left with. So, yes, absolutely.
Start out that way.
I thought of the hog collar at the auction. You know, it's kind of like... Anyway, my apologies for my comments being so obtuse, but... Yeah, it was great. It was well written. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Damn sweet. I think I agree with Rex down the bottom there. He said that bloody picture gives me the willies, and I don't faint easily. I think if I saw him coming towards me, I would run.
I thought it kind of looked like Keith Richards.
He does. And then and then I started looking closer, and it's like, I mean, he's got horn implants, and I guess there's somebody that loves him, but it's not me. But I love Sweet and her poem. Old and blind, poor and putrid. That is our choice, to marry it. I'm nearly speechless just from the photo. Only you would choose a photo like that to write to, my sweet, and then write such an amazing poem. We ignore all the flaws. Just marry the thing. Marry the thing, we call a girl in the room down the hall. I would have to see a picture of what thing decided to marry this thing. Wow.
Well,
one
I mean, it goes right
imagine.
To her poem, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One
poem,
can,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm just horrified.
That photo looks like the before photo when Keith visited Switzerland for his transfusion.
Just like a new age Frankenstein picture. So no, I mean, my apologies to the man in the photo because obviously he likes it, and to each his own. But dude, you scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that was
Oops,
pretty.
I don't
cool,
know
though.
Him, so it could be just
Thank
a costume
goodness.
Party. We'll give him that.
Oh, the room got quiet.
Crash, where'd you go?
I do that to people.
Oh, sorry.
You know.
I was on mute by myself. I'm going to put Hatters in there so we can get everybody on the line, at least on the call, at least in their phone. Because we only got like 15
minutes
left. That's
Danny. That's Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michelle.
Yeah, suddenly he looks like Prince Charming.
That's Machete. That's Machete.
I love Machete.
I wrote to Emily Dickinson a poem she put up there.
All right.
And it's called "And I'm Still Loving You." I came across a piece of eight hiding in the sand, bent it on a thought of you, holding hand in hand. The eyes upon are never gone. They whisper out your name. I cannot see. It's you and me playing such a game. The gathering of these steps so far, it needed not to be. I turn to walk, but start to run, and wish you here with me. I cannot sink beyond your view. All I need is there with you. I pray again these words don't end, and I'm still loving you. In poem.
That's beautiful.
The lovely rhymer.
No, that's a beautiful piece of poetry. It is. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I cannot think beyond your view. All I need is there with you. I pray again the words don't end, and I'm still loving you. I love this. The final stanza just clinches it, but I'm sitting here humming in my head that song "Still Loving You" by the Scorpions at the same time.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah.
What do the ladies think of Hatter's rhymers?
For one thing, that's one of Hatter's favorite pictures. I know he's used it before. The eyes upon are never gone. They whisper out your name. I cannot see. It's you and me playing such a game. Nobody has the meter and cadence and rhyme and flow and perfection that you have, Hatter. I know I say that all the time, but it's true.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on. We got Deborah Lees. And I hate to rush like this, but I'm trying to get everybody that I can on in the hour that we have here. Okay.
That's okay.
And,
I'm grabbing mine now.
Oh, I got it. Believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Whoa. Cool. I didn't write to a specific poem that was from the prompt either. That's why I didn't enter the contest. I wrote to her poem called "Two Butterflies Went Out at Noon." And this is
Emily
called "The
Dickinson.
Afternoon Flight of." Yeah. "The Afternoon Flight of Two Laced Butterflies." Outside by the green buckwheat meadows, hazel eyes trail two laced butterflies. Wings dip and sip from the stream on the go, then rise to fly the periwinkle skies. They spiral in the watercolor landscape, fitting from buds to blossoms to blooms, drinking milkweed nectar, spreading pollen powdered drapes, filling the air with flowered perfumes. So if you are that he and she is me, we can travel the pastures and over the seas, join together. And poem.
And I like your near rhymes that kind of personifies the same way that Emily Dickinson wrote, and with the brevity, with the same type of structure. You hit it on the nail on the head on this one. Lovely. I think my favorite part of it is the second verse, because it actually gives such a vivid detail. The spiral in the watercolor landscapes, fitting the buds to blossoms of bloom, drinking milkweed nectar, spreading pollen powder drapes, filling the air with flowers. That's my favorite part of the. You could probably just have that, and that's such an image that it's so beautiful. Very good job, Deb.
Thank you, Gresh.
Other people?
Well, I haven't been asked, but I'll speak since nobody else is. I think the opener is fabulous. Outside by the green buckwheat meadows, hazel eyes trail two laced butterflies, wings dip to sip from the stream on the go, then rise to fly the periwinkle skies. The imagery, the use of color and movement, the metaphor, that's absolutely beautiful. The poem in its entirety is wonderful, and let me read you the comment I left on this. Gorgeous. How is it that this only has one comment? Scandalous.
I was wondering that too. It's 29 days old. The only thing I can think of is that sometimes I get on a roll and I post like three or four poems in a row, and then one gets buried and people don't see it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think I suffer from that same malady. I really do. I think I suffer from that same malady. I write too proficiently, and a lot of it gets lost in the pizza sauce. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Have you
ever gone in after your last post and check and see who's shown up to read it? The people that jump on it immediately, you usually don't know. I mean, at least I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the people who are. I hate to use the term faithful followers and commenters because it sounds so patronizing, and I hate being patronized, but I do have some friends here who do read a lot of my stuff and comment all the time, and I'm very, very grateful for their attention to my work, and I reciprocate with equal pleasure. But a lot of times there are people I've never heard of who make a comment, and that's pretty encouraging, you know. It's pretty encouraging.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was definitely because I wrote too many in a row, because it's a rare few poems that Kay misses, and even she missed this one.
Yeah, it's a shame you haven't had more comments.
I love it, Deb.
I'm going to pick up on this one.
Yeah, maybe you should spotlight it.
614, who's this?
Hey, 614 is Australia, Chris. 61 is Australia. How are you?
Oh, awesome. Good. How you doing? We're going
to
put your poem right at the top there, buddy.
Oh, there you go.
He also wrote for a poem. Let me get this poem here. And this one was a tongue-in-cheek poem, but I loved it anyway.
It was. Emily Dickinson was somebody who had a fair bit of guts and fire, and I sort of thought, well, you know, what would she be like with a gaming computer in front of her? You know, that was basically
exactly
where it started. Yeah,
I gotcha.
So
here we go.
I just sort of thought we'll just sort of, you know, update, and so. This is based off an Emily Dickinson poem, Started Early with My Dog. This is Emily Goes Gaming. It goes a little bit like this. I parted surly, shook by blog, stands a vista ahead of me. Stir of raids and games and casements, same loud as book chat sea. Grand dates spin to scupper more, upend legend band. Resuming sea to we our house, precious round shone so grand. In rows of grooves by trees abide, spent cast ties simple to dew. Lands of us shone as sighs melts, his hands passed my modesty through. Stand made as wood me for sup, craved holly to his crew. Shone his mane lion's weave, grand roar parted new. On the screen followed me behind, glower as his paws feel. But he ran out of power, no excuse, and shadowed at his absent steel. Dill, time passed, his answer frowned, stunned, no replays in stow. And now he is being a sook. So to a new gaming partner I go. End time.
Every time that I read this, it's like I kept on thinking, I don't know why, but I was thinking we were in Las Vegas, and I remember vividly, like, you know, you have people that go gambling with you that have no business gambling, that don't know the basics, and you're like,
yes.
what the hell am I doing with this person, and what am I going to do to get rid of them?
That's it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome, man. Anybody else got comments on the AP's poem?
Comment when he first wrote it that I guess she swiped left. It's like an update on the dating game. Came out really cool. And you know, it seems like old times. It's been a really long time since I've been on with you and Hatter and Gretel all at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
It has been a while.
Right?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you all cheer me up. I got to tell you, I feel a lot better almost at the end of the show than I do at the beginning, for sure. So I appreciate you all.
No, good stuff.
We miss you, man.
Yeah, I wish I could do it more.
Understood.
I feel like it's been well over a year since I last heard AP's voice on the radio. It probably has.
Oh, wow.
I miss it. He has a very lovely voice, and his lilting banter is delightful. The last stanza, intrigues me. Dill, time passed. By dill, do you mean sour?
No, I mean stupid. It's an Australian colloquialism for somebody who's being an idiot.
Of course.
It's a
dill,
like
dill.
A dill.
Okay.
It's like a pickle, meaning they're not very smart, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of being stupid.
Exactly right.
Stuns no replays in Stowe, and now he's being a sook. Now, in my part of the world, a sook is a female crab. I'd be delighted to hear what a sook is down under.
Okay, a sook is, again, a colloquial term, and my apologies for using it, but it's basically somebody who whines about the unfairness of things. And so we've all had those people who just, you know, sit there and just complain about stuff. And in an Australian sense, that's called a sook.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
there's been a lot of those. There's been a lot of those in the news lately. Okay.
Here's Wolf. This is basically Wolf. This is how basically I took it. It's like, if you've ever been gambling, we used to have what's called a bender. And so we're in a roll. You're on a roll. You're winning, you're winning, you're winning. And somebody's complaining that's with you, right? They're complaining that, oh, can't we go do something else? And you're sitting there getting money. You're doing fantastic.
Yep.
And there's this
guy.
Sorry face over here that's not part of your part of your winning.
That's
exactly
exactly. Yep, that's it. Exactly. Exactly what it is. Yeah, exactly.
It's like somebody's got a corkscrew up your backside and they keep turning it. Yeah,
yeah.
I know exactly the feeling.
And that face. You know, you always see the face. Your face is down and it's like, you know, nothing's ever gonna go right.
Yeah.
That's the sort of set. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
great,
so a couple of terms thrown in. Thank you.
Great poem, AP. Great
all
poem.
Right.
Good to hear your voice again, man. Really, really
good
to
hear
you.
What do you think, Sweet Pea, real quick, and then we're going to move on to two last poems and get them with Gerald's and that. What do you think about AP's poem?
AP's hilarious. He cracks me up. He's a bit of a smartass, but he's never stupid. And he knows that's why I love him.
It was a bit like Sweet wrote me a very lovely comment about my poem about Poe yesterday, and she said she'd love to be there when me and the bird, the raven, were talking, and I said no, you wouldn't, because we just diss Poe. So, thank you.
And I would still love to be there.
Anyways,
I'm going to go ahead and play this poem by Gerald. Here's his poem.
And I'm going to exit.
And he may be recording. All right, buddy.
Thank
you so much.
Bye,
appreciate
everybody. That's a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Soon.
Cheers.
Godspeed.
Thank you, Wolf.
Here's Gerald. Thank you, JP, for calling in. Appreciate it. So here we go for Gerald.
Politicians love Sonnet, written and read by Gerald Green. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my power doth reach for you in Washington. For I, and only I, know what's just and right. I love thee to the level of every knight's most pressing need with bureaucratic foresight. I love thee freely, using governmental might. I love thee purely, deserving of your praise. I love thee with a passion put to use to settle scores and nurture quest for more. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with waning votes. I love thee and ignore your wrath and any sign of discontent. I shall but love thee better in retirement. End poem.
That's funny as heck. I told him he wrote it with such truth and sarcasm that he should run for office. It's a different take on it because it's basically a sarcastic poem that meant, you know, how love for politicians we don't have very much of.
Perish the thought. I guess it depends on where they retire to, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For sure. Fun stuff. Gerald always cracks me up. And he always provides a voice for him, which is always happy. Instead of having to read them, they actually get to hear it in the person's voice, even though they couldn't be with us on the air. I really appreciate those people that do that. And I always reward them with 300 points.
Oh, cool.
Go ahead.
He does it almost every night, too, for more than one show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hmm.
Very good, Gerald. We love it. Very good. Now we'll get with Phil. Let's run his poem by. Here's Phil's. Phil
this
the Poet.
The poem by Phil the Poet called Visiting the Pearhead. I took a walk along the Pearhead Strand to watch the boats sail upon the Mersey. The seagulls feeding from my open hand sang with screeching tone, word unworthy. Foghorn spleet, see you never walk alone, continuously looping the evening sky. The weary passengers seek a way home, drunks tuck into a meat potato pie. Old dockers revisiting the past in rhyme, crying into the pint of bitterness about how life used to be in their time, praying for someone to be their witness. The live birds perched on a building high, savour the people going to and fro. Stony-eyed gremlins watch the passers-by continue the day like a river flow. Walking along Lime Street to catch my train, leaving the city of my youth far behind, forgetting the past, infecting my brain, finding this poem on the Northern Line. End poem.
Very nostalgic, Phil. I love all the imagery you show, and I just felt like I was right there with you when you say, foghorns bleat to you never walk alone, continues leaping the evening sky, and weary passers seek a way home, drunks tuck into meat potato pie. And I could just see that walking past in the pubs and seeing that, because meat potato pie is pretty cool. I've seen those. And the old dockers revisiting the past in rhyme, crying into their pint of bitterness so much truth in this. This is a beautiful rhyming poem. I really liked it, Phil. Good job, man. What'd y'all think?
Made me miss England.
Yeah, the rhyme is spot on. You just read really smooth. Impressed every time. And I love that some of the old terms that, not old terms, but English terms that we don't use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a little better.
I always think English, when they speak, they can sound good reading the damn phone book.
Yeah. And he's got such an amazing reading voice. I'm so delighted that he's making these YouTube clips for us now. He's been participating for us since the first day we started doing shows, but always needing a reader. And now getting to hear him is just like phenomenal. But do you want to just run down what our shows are going to be the rest of the week, and so you can go and do your thing?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
go
well,
ahead.
Tomorrow we're introducing Wolf Spirit, and he's doing open poetry at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So can put some poems on the board for him, and then he'll sit there and look pretty and run some poetry for us. And Thursday night is Sweet Pea, also at 9 p.m. She's doing tongue twisters. And Friday night is the Man Cave with Hatter and Steven, and their topic is fishing. That's at 11 p.m. Saturday, also at 11 p.m., is Hatter Day, and we're doing tumbleweeds. Sunday is Hatter Music Night, and we're doing Motown. And Monday is Lions and Tigers and Bears. Oh, my. So there's the next sample of days in a nutshell. And, Gress, it was fun. It was nice to hear you laughing and some excellent poetry.
Yeah.
So Hatter trifecta.
Yep, and I'm going to end the show. I'm going to end the show like I always do. If you can do something kind to other people, please do that every day as best as you can. That doesn't mean, you know, going out of your way and spending money or anything like that. Just opening a door for somebody, telling how good they look, helping elderly with their gas at the gas pump, pumping their gas for them. Anything that you can make it to help somebody else out and to make them feel special is always a good thing. And then also keep in mind that tell the people that you love them, because you know, sometimes you might not get tomorrow, especially what's going on with this world. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff going on in India. One of my dearest friends that's in a mission over there is going through a lot of stuff. So if you can just make a special place in your heart, if you believe in God, pray. If you believe in healing spirits, do that. Do whatever you can to help these people, these poor people that are getting turned away just because they don't have any money. And that's something that should never happen in our world. So, like I said, tell the people that you love them. Go ahead.
Hey, Gress. Mm-hmm.
Love you. Love you and respect.
Yeah.
Gress, you look marvelous. Stop by more often.
I will, man. I try. It's just so things have gone on. I got the stupid shot last time before the show, and I shouldn't have done that. And I was not feeling good the next day. all right. Love y'all, and I appreciate your time. And sorry that the show got delayed and it got cut down a little bit, but we did a lot within the hour. We did a good job. Thank you all very much. Love you.
So fairy,
love
the mercy. Good night, peeps.
All right, cheers.